Welcome back to Season Sessions, where we'll take you through all the butt news of the week, and you're joined with your host Ada
and your host Hanifa.
And I'm really tired today.
Yeah,
I'm running on E. I'm really hungry. I should have eaten beforehand. I think I'm gonna get light.
Yeah, do you know what I was looking at today?
What?
The recommended daily intake of calories for a woman is 2,000.
Yeah.
That seems like, I've never like counted calories, but that seems like you'd be eating all the time.
Well, I think we're supposed to have 3 full meals a day, which is like, how is that possible?
I honestly, I can't believe we have to eat continuously every day. And if we don't, we die. Like, it's such a chore and it's expensive and it's messy.
I like to eat. It's just that I simply can't fit it in.
You've got to think of different things, different ideas, and then you've got to get your ingredients and think, will I use this to stretch it for 3 different meals? Like, will this seasoning be multi-use?
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it.
One random seasoning that I'm like, you're just looking at me because I'm never going to use you again. I use you for one dish. Yeah. This wasn't even that good. I was trying something new.
Exactly.
And now, or you try a new dish. I cooked veal for the first time.
Random, but okay.
Because I use a subscription box for my meats, and now I've done only
mystery meat. just throw in whatever.
No,
they got
after
going.
I watched that Netflix show that's what? Changed my life. That You Are What You Eat show. I no longer buy meat from like supermarkets because it's all pumped with shit. Mm-hmm. So now there's a company called Abel and Cole.
Oh yeah, I know
and
them.
they do meat boxes, mm-hmm. and I only get seasonal,
right.
so that you're not excessively killing shit. What was I saying?
So you get a meat subscription.
It's a meat subscription and it's seasonal. So then I think right now is
veal
and venison season, mm-hmm. which is like different, but it's pushed me to try new shit. And now I've got, they slandered me like a kilo of venison, veal, mm-hmm. Which is actually a lot of fucking veal.
Yeah.
So I've been eating veal.
Like Henry VIII.
I've been eating veal for days.
That's so weird.
And I'm like, I'm veal out, to be perfectly honest. But it's also like, I don't want to spend more money. And to also, the ingredients to cook that shit, to make it a meal, was 40 quid. 40 quid for one meal. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, the price of olive oil.
No,
is
everything
so ridiculous.
Everything is so expensive.
£14 for olive oil. For that Philippi
Berio.
Yeah.
Have you heard the conspiracy theory?
Go on.
So I haven't looked into this.
Of why olive oil is so expensive.
So it's like, apparently all olive oil is watered down by the mafia. I haven't looked into this.
So is this what's... So the mafia is what's so causing like, the
there's
price.
Like a, there's like a black market.
For olive oil.
They're scrimping us off. That's why olive oil is so expensive. So we've never had like legit olive oil.
I have.
It's all been skived off.
No, I have an Italian.
Guys, Google it.
I have
Google
an Italian it. Friend.
No, but
no, I have
straight from the source.
As in her family,
she squeezed the olive.
As in her family,
she knew mafia.
Her family have
mafia connections.
No, they have their own olive thing. Olive, what are they called? I was going to say
vineyard.
That's what I was going to say. A vineyard, but
olive,
it's not
olive tree.
It's not a vineyard if it's olives,
olive
is it?
Olive garden.
Anyway, they can make their own olive oil at home. So sometimes when she goes home, she brings me.
Right, okay. So
maybe it's like straight from...
Do you notice the difference?
No,
I don't. Philippa Berry?
I don't at all. No, I don't, because I'm cooking with it. Yeah. So I don't... Unless like, I rarely do like olive oil dipping with bread in my house. That's like an outside thing. You don't do that at home.
I had a real phase of breadsticks, prosciutto and olive oil.
Really, in your house?
Yeah.
At home?
During uni?
That's crazy.
I would like
a true outdoor activity.
Yeah, no, that was when I was like, you know, trying something.
Okay.
Went through a phase.
That's an outdoor, okay.
I can't get over that we just have to keep on eating forever. I'm so annoyed at it.
You know what? I was looking into personal chefing.
Mm-hmm. If I won the lottery, that's what I would get.
That's what you think. Having a personal chef is actually not as expensive as you think. Depending on the food, maybe not for you because you're a solo person, but if you're in like a household, the money that you spend on like your groceries,
yeah,
you're most likely, is most likely the same as a personal chef coming in and cooking you three solid meals.
So they, when do they come in there? I don't want some person in my house all the time.
No, as in they pre-cook them for you and then you store them. So my aunt actually gets, like, she has all her food made.
Oh, I would do this.
But she mainly focuses on Nigerian food. So you can get all your soups and everything made. And then she just puts them, she puts them in the freezer. Because she was like, I don't want to cook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe you've got a trick.
I need to look into this.
Yeah, she says like it ends up costing the same amount of her going to the shop.
That's the thing, because it's like, I can cook.
I don't want to, man.
I get no satisfaction from cooking. I like cooking for other people, but for an occasion.
No.
But it's more for the sit down of the meal. And that's a rare occasion.
Yeah.
It's just not washing up. It's actually also...
The amount of
effort... It's not clever.
The amount of effort that it takes to cook.
Yeah.
Versus... time it takes me to eat the food, it's not equal enough for me to enjoy the
exactly
shit.
The only things where it's worth it is it's really niche dishes that you can't get anywhere else. There are a few Guyanese dishes where I'll, like, if I'm feeling fancy,
yeah,
I'll make that, but then it's like the satisfaction and knowing that I'm not going to have it for a long time,
yeah,
is what pays off. However, being left with various chili peppers and like random side ingredients that I'm not going to use is very annoying.
Okay.
Anyway, that is my takeaway of the week. I will be looking into personal chefs.
Honestly, look into it. I think I saw somebody on TikTok also saying that it just makes sense.
Because I did HelloFresh for a while and it was so stupid.
HelloFresh? They're all shit. Because firstly, you've not made enough... I can't make a singular meal. I'm sorry. If it's actually good, and also, I always have to add to that shit.
There was not a single meal where I was like, I fancy that. Yes. It was like, okay, the food is here. It's got seven ingredients.
Exactly. Like, you're not like waiting to get home to be like, oh, let me have that bland pasta that they've
made. You still have to cook it. Yeah, exactly. I would just put pasta pesto on.
Exactly. Because you bought it. And then like, if it happens to be maybe a little bit nice... You've given me a rabbit portion.
Yes, and then you got to eat the rest of them. And then there's this seasoning called catsup manis that's in everything.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Yeah,
don't know what it is.
I don't appreciate those things.
Yeah, but that was something I tried.
It seems like a bit of a scam.
But I just need. I need someone. I need the meals to be delivered to me. I need someone to be like, okay, we're
personal
eating now.
Chef, man,
food is coming.
Personal chef it.
Yeah,
do it. Because I don't mind having the same thing multiple times.
No, as long as it tastes good when I was younger.
Because I can, exactly.
I would get fixed on one food. That would be my food.
My mum would make essentially all her food on Sunday. And she's like, if you come home before me, then stick it in the microwave. I'd happily then just make sure I've eaten the same thing the whole week.
Yeah.
I don't care. As long as it tastes good. I give a shit.
I just want everything. I want to know that I'm getting the right nutrients.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Do you think that also as a kid, and this is what's now taking up the time, and we will get to some kind of news in a minute.
Yeah,
you used to have like full meals when you got home. Mm-hmm. I can't have a full meal past like 7 p.m. right now.
Well, I wasn't having them at 7.
I feel like I'd be too full. Like 6 o'clock, 7, I was having all the food groups on one plate. I'm like, now if I have all the food groups on one plate past 7 p.m. not in a restaurant, I'm gonna get a spot of indigestion. I'm not gonna feel comfortable.
Yeah, kids don't have those problems.
Do they not? Is your body just
I don't know.
But also, you'd be eating with your parents and they were having the same full meal, so how are you guys, how is somebody having a full pan of jam and soup dish at 8 p.m.
God, having children is so long. You've got to make a dish every day.
And this is also why my aunt is a personal chef in.
She does it for the kids as well.
Oh, it's the whole household. Her whole household.
Her life must be so free.
She lives a great life.
I need to hear more about this aunt.
Yeah, she lives a great life, yeah. She's like, she's got it set. She's that version of, she is the true soft life.
That
person,
you've got to
she's
be.
She's always been, since my whole life, she's like, I either want it my way or I'm not doing it at all.
Work smarter, not
harder. And that's what she's been doing.
Yeah.
Now she doesn't cook for the kids. The food's in the fridge, go get your shit.
Yeah, I like that. That was like, I don't think, when I grew up, we had breakfast was the most important day. So that was the meal when we had a full cooked breakfast.
Every day?
Every morning before school.
You live in Desperate Housewives?
I don't know what my mum was doing but then it
full
was
full cooked.
It was great.
Cooked.
No, but it was like, I think it was because we were all like,
what time were you waking up?
Early. Really, you work up early, but we'd all have the breakfast and then it'd be like, if you don't see, we never really spent much time together. Like everyone went their separate ways after school. So it was like, you eat whatever's in the house, but as we've at least had breakfast, we were given lunch money. I was buying various other things with my lunch money, but I had breakfast.
And then, like what kind of cooked?
Like sometimes like a fry up, sometimes porridge.
A fry up before school.
But like a healthy version.
Which is what? It's still fried.
Yeah. Scrambled eggs. Just like breakfast food tortilla. Like just.
A breakfast food tortilla.
A big thing in my household.
You were
breakfast
living like
the
you,
most
you were living like you were in a sitcom.
Yeah. It was a nice, I didn't
and you guys
to my mum about
and
this
you guys and we sat around together.
Yeah, I remember actually.
Were people doing that?
Yeah, my friend slept over. I remember she was like, this is weird.
No, but slept
because we had a really small dinner and then the next morning we had a huge breakfast.
Like slept on the weekend, I
no,
get
this
it.
Was every day. Weekend and then every Sunday we'd have French toast. Like you'd come downstairs and there'd be a big pile of French toast.
You were living in a sitcom.
No, but the thing is, my mum.
I would love
no,
to know if this other people had this experience.
No, my mum is a kind of person where if it's fun, she wants to be part of the action. Cooking dinner every day is boring. Making a full breakfast spread is fun.
How is that fun?
I don't know.
It's in the morning.
I don't know. She's a morning woman.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Like, I'd maybe
I think
eat
a
half a bowl
thing.
Of cereal because I'm like.
Yeah, cereal was a Saturday thing only.
Really?
That was when it was like, make you fix your own breakfast.
That's so insane.
Yeah.
Sit down.
That's a tradition maybe I'll carry on.
That's so much effort.
No, but then at least you've fed your kids one meal.
Yeah, but you're also going to come home for dinner.
Yeah, and they'll fend for themselves. pesto, beans on toast.
That's so insane. Okay, well, that's quite special. Anyway.
Yeah. Should we do some shout outs?
Yes, I have multiple. Okay. Should I start with one?
If yeah,
I want to shout out
sandwich them.
I want to shout out the people that are currently protesting in Peckham outside the hotel that is trying to transport migrants. They're standing in front of the bus. It's happening right now. Is it a black thing? There's black people there, and I'm sure there's black people on that bus. But I think it's always commendable to protest.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do more of it. We need to get that French spirit.
We really do.
We really do, yeah. But yeah, I just want to shout them out.
Yeah, solidarity to everybody.
Make sure the bus don't move.
Yeah.
Because where are you taking them to exactly? But that's my first shout out.
Okay, well,
big one.
My shout out is friend of the show, friend of the hosts, journalist Ade Onibada, who won the Young Music Boss Awards Journalist of the Year. We used to work with Ade and she's a great journalist. She does lots of different things. She recently hosted a Murky Books talk. And yeah, shout out to her.
What was that?
A little while ago. Recently can be anything from a few weeks to a few months to me.
Clearly. I was like, have I missed one? But on that, to Murky Books, also shout out to Stormzy because he just opened Murky HQ in Croydon. And I like how much more he's going to be supplying opportunities to the youth and his community, and I will speak on it as it develops, but it looks really great.
Yeah.
And then my third shout out to Puff Puff Minstry. If you're in London or you've not had Puff Puff Minstry, I really don't. That means
you've missed out. Uncultured. Unseasoned.
Yeah, actually unseasoned. Also, you just haven't been to one industry event because there are every industry, but they're in Aldi now.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, no.
One of the two.
I mix those up all the time.
Let me just double check. But they are in Aldi now. They did like there's like a Channel 4 thing. And it's like Aldi and Channel 4.
Oh.
And so they've been on that show. And I think they're in it now, I assume. But that's great. Like Puff Puff, is it a donut? Is it a dough ball? We'll never know, but it's
every,
great shit.
We all have
every culture has
our own
version of Puff Puff.
We have mitai,
and
in
you see,
my country it's
what,
the same.
And
thing.
What do I say? Somebody fund my food show. Also, shout out to Kelechi that listens to the show.
Yeah,
she sent me. Yes, it's Kletchy. She sent me a doc to watch from what I was saying about the food traveling. Oh. Shout out to you. That was really great, actually. It's actually expanded my view for my show. So people are listening. So let's get the funding together. Because, yeah, who had puff first? And how did it travel around the ether?
Everyone, I guess. I remember for some reason I know about the history of the donut. The guy that invented the donut, he hated cake, so his mum would get like cake, cut out the middle and fry it. So that's how the donut came out.
That sounds like really too modern for me.
That's how it does sound like a recent thing.
Like I'm talking,
but
like,
I'm saying the act
I'm talking
of
about
frying,
biblical times.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jesus was frying up some manna and putting it in sugar.
But that's different because that's not.
But like the act of doing that is not that unique.
It's not the act. It's like who had the first fried? Because yeah, manna's flat. So sorry, you guys are out. That doesn't count.
What about mithai then? That goes back to ancient India.
You see, before you know it, and then the Silk Road, and then the Silk Road came through, and then
all of a sudden,
and somebody was like,
fried goods,
and then somehow it landed in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Ghanaians call it bofra. Who really had it first? Ghanaians or Nigerians?
Oh no, let's not open that can.
To me, it's given Nigeria. But like, you know, and then is there a version of it in the US that has gone through this? Like, to be perfectly honest, I feel like there should be, but I haven't seen that. Also, sorry, on that, thinking about slavery. I saw a TikTok. I actually have no idea if this is true because I didn't do any research.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it anyway.
So warning.
Warning.
Maybe fake news pending.
Potentially fake news. Somebody can correct me. I'll research it straight after this, but it just came into my head because I thought, of course it makes sense. It's so funny. So there's like a lot of New Orleans?
I don't know.
People from New Orleans.
Yeah,
what are they called? Anyway, they are of Congo descent.
That makes sense.
And I said, that makes
that
sense.
That checks out. The French colonies, obviously. Yeah,
but so they even have like a Congo square.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me
at all.
But
then I was like, that makes sense because the loudest dressers
they love a parade. They love to show
the
out.
Congolese. I'm sorry. Then if I look at, I was like, that makes so much sense.
Do you know what? I love that. How like you can, there's the little things like that with like, you know, the people, the certain tribes that went to certain islands, certain places, the spirit
and the vibes are strong.
Like you can look at people and be like, yeah.
That makes complete sense. Like you guys are brothers and sisters for real.
Well, yeah, it makes sense historically, but yeah, culturally as
historically,
well.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I should look into it, but she was just saying, I can't remember what she was saying. That's actually all I took out from her two minute thing. But I thought that was quite interesting. But it made sense. I wonder, it would be cool to see the different. I wonder if you could do that from different black groups in the US and would be like, the way that you guys act to me are like from this country.
It would be interesting.
And I feel like you could, you could pin.
Well, like, you know what's weird? You know when I did a DNA test?
Yeah.
When did
you do your DNA test? When did you do your
like
DNA test?
A while ago.
What did you have?
It was really, it was exactly like 50% Indian, 50% African. It was very like.
Oh, because you've not developed yet.
No. It was very, it was, I got like mostly Nigerian.
Yeah.
A little bit of Togo, but it was like mostly Nigerian from the African side. And then Indian, like east and south. But interestingly, I had a relative who is like a third cousin. So we share a great grandparent.
Yeah.
But they're Mauritian. So like they have a completely different culture.
Yeah.
So there'll be some similarities for the diaspora.
Yeah.
But like we both descended from the same person in India. And then one descendant went to the Caribbean and one descendant went to Mauritius.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see like if you get more cousins and like more relatives as they pop up, where in the world that they've gone to.
Yeah, where I could
and
have
like
ended up.
What similarities we have and differences we have.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I can always tell when I meet somebody and if they look a certain way, I'm like, are they Indian, Guyanese, Mauritian? And it's always like, after not too long, I'm like, yeah, I can tell.
Oh, I can tell that immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, it's always quite stunning to me if I go out with my mum, she can pin somebody immediately. Mm-hmm. From mainly just like West Africa, maybe coming out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm happy that I can now really pin whether you're Zim, Tan, South Africa. Like, it's so clear.
Yeah.
So then when you go to like maybe the US or wherever diaspora is, it's like, I know I can most likely, it would be really interesting. Oh, do you know what? It would be really interesting to get people, maybe potentially Americans, and then have like people guess where you think their heritage could be from. And then they go and do a DNA test and then you can match it. That is a very long route.
That's a long game.
Very long game. Yeah, like six, 8 months.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can just always just tell. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, like, you can't run away from who you are.
No.
It's in your face. It's in your bones and DNA.
It's in your blood.
It's always going to come eventually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on
Should we do some news?
Yeah, go on.
So if you're in the UK, you would have heard the story about a 14-year-old boy who was killed in a sword attack. So this happened in Northeast London on Tuesday. So he's been named as Daniel Angerin. And yeah, it's obviously really, really tragic, really awful. The person has been, this 33-year-old man, he's been apprehended. And yeah.
The main thing about this is that this guy stabbed five people.
Yeah.
Injured five people.
With a sword.
He's white. And they're calling him a swordsman.
Sorry, what? I missed that.
They're calling him a swordsman in the news. If he was a tiny bit darker, this would be a terrorist attack. Because why was he just stabbing people in the street?
It seems that...
But now they've done like, he's Brazilian descent.
He's Brazilian, Spanish, dual
So even
heritage.
With that, he's...
If you're causing terror, you're a terrorist.
Exactly. This is a terrorist.
Like, I think we've very much forgotten that terrorism is not synonymous with like...
Being Asian.
Yeah, Islamic extremism.
Yeah.
You can be a terrorist in the name of various things. And if you're causing terror on people with mass attacks like that, that's terrorism.
Yes. That is...
I don't know, but I guess you're supposed to... You have to have a... You're doing it in the name of some kind of ideology or whatever.
Do you?
I think so.
For it to be a terrorist? I don't know.
Regardless...
Acts of terror. I'm terrified.
My takeaway is from this is that they're saying they're going to up the
stop and searches.
How in any way would that help this situation?
Because you wouldn't have stopped him.
He's the people we all know who gets stopped the most on stop and searches, and it's people like Daniel who was attacked, young black boys. So are you going to stop and search everyone on the off chance they might be carrying a sword?
No, they're not. They're not.
What?
You can increase the stop and search for sure. All it's going to do is slow my day. Because, it can continue to happen. And then also, if you don't treat it like a terror attack, and then you're just kind of giving the example of white people can get away with killing people and injuring multiple people, then why wouldn't it continue?
Yeah, but I think the main thing here is these are problems that needed to be addressed, like, way back before in terms of us having better services.
Yeah.
And, like, actual mental health services, services of support, people in the community who can flag when somebody... might be going down a route towards like extremism or mental health issues, whatever they've got going on. Because if people aren't going to notice somebody's spiraling, how are they going to stop it?
I don't know. I think we've just assumed that he's just not a normal person. Has it come out that he's mentally
ill? No, I don't know. But obviously he's not right.
No, he's left.
Okay, that was.
I'm
I don't even know. I'm lost for words.
I'm so sorry.
What?
I keep watching that Britain's Got Talent video.
Wow. That was awful. That was terrible form from you.
Wow.
Anyway.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, but.
I'm so sorry.
But.
Go on, continue.
I just think the actual well-being of people in this country is being failed.
Yes, it is.
To the point where more things like this keep happening. Even if, like, the kids getting groomed online or kids ending up becoming extremists or terrorists or whatever, it's all a symptom of us not caring about people.
Yeah.
And not paying attention to what other people are doing and actually, like, having a sense of community are looking out for each other. But I think it's obviously the government's fault for making all the services shit.
Well.
And yeah, stop and searches aren't going
to
help.
This is why you should vote, guys. Today is voting day.
Yeah, well, by the time this is out.
Oh, voting day will be out.
You should have voted. You should have already voted. We hope you voted.
However, yes, we understand candidates are looking sketchy these days.
Yeah.
But your vote counts.
Does it really?
I don't know.
No, your vote does count.
Your vote does count.
Your vote does count. It doesn't feel like it does count. But yeah, we need money to be put into the well-being of things to prevent things from happening. It's all very, it's just the basic thing, proper preparation.
What you say?
Proper preparation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there would be fewer health problems if
the health services worked.
Yeah, if people were set up to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But we're not set up to take care of ourselves and live our best lives.
No, we're living our worst lives.
We are. We're living lives.
Life is being lived.
They could be better.
Are we enjoying it every day? No.
But yeah, that's my takeaway from that.
Okay. On definitely lighter news, but more chaotic news. The Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole and their whole industry. It's actually, I don't know who else is involved in this now. It's Drake versus Future, The Weeknd, Kendrick, Rick Ross, ASAP Rocky.
And they're all on one team together.
They're all, yeah.
What kind of primary school business is this, man? Grow up.
It is become, but it's entertaining. And Kanye. It's entertaining until, like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's entertaining until somebody gets hurt.
What are they actually fighting about?
It was more, it's just like, you know, friendly competition. You know, like when you're having like a gentle roasting session and then somebody says something too far and now it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
That's essentially what happens.
Yeah.
But I think that's what happens in all rap beef. It's all fun and games.
Until someone gets hurt.
Until somebody gets hurt. It's all fun and games until somebody reveals something that shouldn't have been revealed. And now it's like, okay, cool. Fuck your mom. Anyway, so... And to be perfectly honest, the person that actually triggered this, because people make it seem like it's a man's game, the person that triggered this, who's the first person that announced that Drake has a BBL? It was Megan.
Oh, yeah.
All of you are just following Megan. Like, Megan started this. Megan put his shit out there and all of you ran. But you're making it seem like it's a male beef. Megan started it. Now you've been cooked. Anyway.
I like that you just sprinkled that and just dipped out.
Well, it was like a diss track to him for sure. But, it's good that the rhetoric is keeping. Now, the next person that has to speak is the surgeon, and I'm sure that will come out soon to confirm.
There'll be a TikTok.
Whether or not Drake has had a BBL that we all suspected anyway, because you have scars of.
Wait, does he?
Reminiscent of somebody that's had lipo, at least.
Do they shape the abs or
he's
how does a male BBL work?
It's not like a BBL, it's just like they're calling it
because the thing was like,
what are we getting, it's abs, so they put
fake abs in.
It's no, because if you strip out the fat, like
the abs, exactly.
But no, I reckon he got like sculpting done, like you know, whatever. Anyway, Kendrick's come out with his diss track. Personally, I believe that Kendrick has ended it because it was good enough for Drake to maybe sit down.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing Drake is petty and he won't sit down. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, this could continue until the end of the year, until it gets a bit too much. But there was something interesting in Kendrick's diss, which is like, I don't know if it's lazy, but I think it is quite lazy. I think it's lazy to then do the whole I'm black and you're not situation. Mm-hmm. And comment on him being mixed race, etc. But why, and it was a conversation that was brought up, why do men, black men, especially black male rappers, mm-hmm. have an issue with mixed race rappers, but all their girlfriends are mixed race? So then if you have an issue with men being light skinned, but you don't have an issue with women that you associate yourself being like,
do you know what I think
it's
a deep-rooted colorism.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this throughout media and throughout history. When we look at, like, if you look at cartoons, sitcoms, the black, the man, is always darker skinned than the woman.
Yes.
So historically, lighter skinned is seen as more feminine, or is being portrayed as more feminine. And then there's the whole trope of like, oh, light skinned guy, whatever.
Yes.
And they're playing into that. So they're trying, but they're just playing into the colorism.
But they don't realize
that they're,
yeah,
they're, that they're ingrained in the problem.
That's why I also like, I really don't like J. Cole because I think that he's no better than every other rapper. He just knows how to use a thesaurus. So when you come up, the whole notion that you're, you know, you're from a higher, but you're still just doing the same shit that Quavo would do.
Yeah.
The way that you live your life, just because you don't have as many chains or you don't, your teeth aren't shining, but your actual actions are the same as every other rapper. It's just that you've slapped in, you've double entendre.
You're using big words.
Yeah, you're using big words and maybe you've rhymed it a bit, but yes, you may have more talent, but you're not as conscious, because I will never forgive him for what he did to No Name.
Mm.
And also you kind of proved the point because you're still acting.
Yeah.
Which is also fine because I don't judge like lifestyle, but then don't act like you're above it. He's, do you know what he is? Mrs. Bouquet.
What? Remember Hyacinth.
What are you saying?
Who's Mrs. Bouquet?
You remember Mrs. Bouquet on BBC?
Hyacinth Bouquet.
Is that it? Who it is?
Bucket Woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he is. It's like,
that's,
you think,
such a niche reference. And why did I get it straight away?
But like, you think you're better than you are.
Yeah. No, it's, you got all the airs and graces.
Yeah.
It's being uppity.
Yeah. You think that you're better than you are, but really you're just like the rest of them. So with, I appreciate Kendrick, to me, yes, is a better rapper and humor, but also Drake has more hits. It is what it is. And it's the same with,
and it is a lazy dunk to be like, yeah, you're mixed race.
Exactly. But then that whole thing of like, cause at the end he said, I don't want to hear you say nigger anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I was like, well, J. Cole's mum's also white. But anyway, like, but the fact that the message that Drake put, so basically when Rick Ross did his diss and Drake's mum messaged him to say like, Wagwan, what's going on? Obviously not like that. She's a white woman.
Yeah.
He said that, oh, this guy's being racist.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you use the term racist to your white mother, maybe that's where.
Wait.
Drake
said
Rick Ross is being racist towards him.
Oh,
I said the phrasing of you using racist, maybe we're going to take that N-word card off you.
Maybe we talk about,
because now
racism.
That's a bit. Yeah, I was like, all he said was your mum's white.
But it's something, but yeah.
I think like, so you using that terminology, yeah, maybe let's snatch that back. Mm. But it's complicated, but it's fun.
I think there's always constant discussions about this.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to agree that people have different ways of seeing the world and different definitions of what is something and what isn't something.
Yeah.
And you gotta respect that there's not a straight line to follow.
There isn't a straight line, but I kind of get it. Like, Drake has always overcompensated.
Yeah.
No, you can see that he feels that he's not...
Well,
he can't fit into the crowd as much as he
read a thing earlier today when he was saying like he didn't experience racism until he went to America, and then he was like, the people were talking about like the black American experience, and they were like, you haven't felt that because you're black Canadian.
Yeah.
And then it was, I just found it a bit weird because it's like, there is also racism in Canada.
But if he said he hasn't experienced
it, but I'm just like, yeah, he's come from his bubble, there's a lot of stuff that he hasn't experienced from his upbringing, and it's not necessarily about being black, white, mixed race, but he was like a privileged kid who was on a TV show.
Exactly.
So that's his experience.
Exactly.
Very sheltered.
Exactly.
But I think you can't fault somebody for speaking on their experience.
No, you can't fault somebody, but I think that now you act as if that's not where you came
from.
No,
however, that's the thing. I did find it weird of him saying like, however, you can't acknowledge that there is racism in Canada.
A lot of you guys do that anyway.
Let's
look at Travis Scott. Yeah. Travis Scott, your parents were in the Jack and Jill Society. So like you came from money.
Yeah, but that's
money.
The thing, Lil Wayne.
Yeah, like, but a but lot then, of you...
But that's the thing, is that another, the belief that like black is synonymous to hood or whatever.
Yeah.
There are so many different ways of being black and so many different black experiences.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it's like depending on what you want to... I guess like there's also that, and then people are like, well, if they don't have this experience, they can't take them seriously within the genre. But then does a genre have to be about that consistently? Who knows?
I feel as long as the music is from the heart. No?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
I think if you're feeling the music,
I don't
go
think,
forth.
Because I think like nobody wants to hear a rich kid talk about their issues.
Well, I'm not saying no, but that's
what
if their issues are real. If a rich kid is talking about being broke, no, shut up. But if a rich kid is talking about real,
being rich,
no, about the issues that they may have,
which are unrelatable because you're rich.
No, but maybe they'll be relatable to somebody. That's why I'm saying the music will be real for them.
That's what, yeah, and that's it. Nobody wants to hear that.
But some people do.
The rich people.
Yeah, and then they make their music.
That's it. I think like
look at DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled is not, his music isn't relatable.
Does DJ Khaled say anything apart from saying DJ Khaled? Yeah, he said
all I do is win. That's not relatable.
Like, but I think like a lot of musicians,
aspirational,
I guess, but a lot of musicians like class bring their level down to relate to the, because majority of the world is not rich.
Yeah.
So then if you want to pull yourself down to a level where other people can relate, because at what point, like with Andre 3000, he said that he's not gonna make a new album because he ain't got shit to say. I appreciate that.
I respect
because
that.
Right now, why is Drake still singing songs about the trenches?
It's the Ed Sheeran effect. I told you.
Yeah. There you go.
Once you reach a certain level of success, you no longer have the lifestyle to make relatable content, but you're still an artist who wants to create,
yeah,
but you need to have more experience. Basically, the success to experience scale balance has tipped.
Yeah.
You're not having everyday trials and tribulations because you've got people sorting out your shit.
Fair.
So you need to have more trials and tribulations, regardless of what they may be.
I think the only person that is actually really getting away with I'm rich, you're not, is Beyonce. And we've allowed that. Because Beyonce has never shied away from us seeing that she has coin, and it's so aspirational, people don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. But she, when she's talking about smashing up basket and shit like that, she's the only person that seems to be like, I'm rich, you're not, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Rappers have always done that. Mm-hmm. But they still sing it like I'm from the trenches, and then the next line could be about a G-Wagon, and then the next line could be like I was cooking noodles, and then the next line could be like look at my diamonds. They always have to throw in,
yeah,
there's like they have to always make sure that it's known in this that like, poverty is a part, is playing a part.
Yeah,
but like I don't know, but that's also why I always say there's the rapper to actor's pipeline works, because they're all acting.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're all great actors.
It's all bravado.
It's like anytime somebody announces a rapper is going to be part of a film, I'm like, they're going to eat that role.
Yeah,
because it's all bullshit that we're doing anyway. Mm-hmm. It's all fake.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my 2 cents on that. So that's all I have.
In other news, the headlines have been abuzz with something called performative showering. So apparently, according to new studies, you shouldn't be showering once a day, and it's actually bad for your skin's microbiomes. And anybody that showers once a day is showering performatively. Thoughts?
If you smell, you should shower. And I would, the studies are, who was in the study?
Well, that's it.
Was it a mixed group of ethnicities? Also, what fucking country was it done in?
I also think there are so many factors. Of like some people just don't sweat. Some people you look at them and they sweat.
Okay.
So I think it's like knowing yourself.
I think you have to shower every day.
I shower every day, yeah, but I don't scrub my skin every day. I just shower the essentials, like the, you know, the crevices. But I don't, like, I'm not I don't care. I'm clean. I smell good. I know that I'm smell clean. And I only do that because it dries out my skin so much. If I'm like scrubbing my
legs. What are you moisturizing?
Yeah, but it's still my skin. I've got very dry skin.
What are you moisturizing with?
Coconut oil.
Oil?
Yeah.
You hear that?
It's penetrative oil.
Oil?
No. It works. Look, I know.
You put oil on after you've moisturized.
I know.
You're using oil to moisturize.
I know what works for me.
Obviously not, because it's...
Look, the science shows that I'm actually over showering anyway, so... As long as the science shows it.
I think that when you live in a major city,
yeah,
where pollution is about, whether you even smell or not, to be honest, you have to be showering.
I am showering.
You have to be showering and you have to be like using a sponge at least.
I'm using a sponge.
You aren't moisturized because you're not using moisturizer. You're using oil.
Look.
That goes on top of the moisturizer to trap you in to the moisture.
Sometimes I use shea butter, but it's very heavy.
Butter. Again,
yeah.
Use a moisturizer.
Anyway, this wasn't the discussion.
You should shower as, like, you have to shower every day. Whether you shower multiple times a day is up to you. If you're going to the gym, shower multiple times a day.
That's the thing. I think if you exercise, you should shower after you exercise.
Yeah,
I exercise every day. Therefore, and also I shower.
So you
before
exercise
I go.
Every day, but you don't wash your body. Properly.
I wash. Oh my god! Yes, I'm washing my body. But I'm not scrubbing and exfoliating my body every day. It works for me.
But you just said it doesn't. You said you get dry skin.
If I scrub every day, yeah.
Okay.
but yeah.
I think, yes, you should. There is also a thing about performance. Like when I see those TikToks of people that have like 50 different soaps. Unnecessary. If you're using Honeypot, God
What's
save
Honeypot?
You. It's like vaginal cleanser.
There's so if you use that, I'm just gonna assume you stink,
like,
because like how bad is it originally going down there that you have to add in Honey Pot?
It's
why
like
is
a
it even called that?
It's like a brand, and it's like they have like, it's, I don't think it's just vaginal, but all the ones I see have like to do with vaginal cleaning. I feel like, yeah, your body is not naturally supposed to smell like a garden rose. It's just supposed to be actually, maybe potentially just scentless, if that. But it's not supposed to be a garden rose. So you adding that to you is just like, to be honest, and then that the same people that are doing that would be like, oh, here's how I've managed to regulate my pH. And then they'll be doing vlogs about their BV. It's because you're adding
the thing is,
too much to, that you're adding
shit. If you do
shit
too much,
in your,
keep it simple.
What, like, do you mean?
Keep the routine simple and things will be fine.
Yeah, or go to a doctor.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think it doesn't smell good,
yeah,
go to a doctor.
Yeah, if it's like, yeah, if you're having a repeated foul smell.
I do have a TMI question, a thought, and I think about this a lot.
Go on.
I always use soap down there.
Yeah.
Right, I always wash down there. Every instruction of any kind of medical thing or any medical direction, it says do not use soap, only use water to clean the hoo-ha. It's self-cleaning.
Yes.
What is going, like, what's going on there? Because
with the self-cleaner,
yeah,
I'm not a
because
biologist.
Like how so people, some people are never putting soap downstairs
when you
because
say,
I'm sorry, that must stink.
No when you say downstairs,
not
you,
inside,
yes, that's what they mean.
They should
just inside.
They need to specify that.
Some people are putting it inside. Okay. And now
whoever's putting soap inside their body, come on, guys.
Like, no, and that's it. Some people are putting it inside, and that's what's causing
but
issues.
Around.
Now you've got thrush and you're like,
oh, duh.
Exactly. The thing is, this is why, and do you know what? The more I'm on the internet, the more I realize not everybody's smart. And you see people going, people will use that, use the soap.
Some people
inside your vaginal canal.
Yeah.
And then you've got thrush. And now it smells worse. And now in your head, you're like, oh, I should do more cleaning to get rid of the thrush. You're just adding more stuff to make the thrush even worse. And it's just like an endless cycle. And then sometimes your body just might, maybe you've got some canister or whatever the fuck it's called. And then it's like cleared up the thrush. And now you're still using it again. And now you have this constant issue. And now you have BV. And now you have it's just like, people just, common sense
is not
a thing.
There needs to be more awareness on functional cleanliness.
I think there's enough awareness. I think people just ignore it. The instruction is very clear.
No, because there are some
people using water.
There are some people who are just using water on their vagina.
Yeah. Inside.
No, on the outside.
But those are also the people that are just using water for their body.
Do you think?
There's no way. There's no way you're washing your body with soap and you're not like, it's just like an actual motion.
I don't know. Some people are like, they can't have bubble baths because they don't want to get BV, which I can't relate to. Everybody's body is very different. Know your body. If your body is sensitive to getting BV, and
I guess maybe
thrush,
that happens. But you can also, it's about the fermented, the scented versions of the bubble bath. So you just get like a, use that simple one or whatever. I don't know. But like,
I don't know. I don't
stop
like
stop using soap inside your vagina.
And yeah, and don't
and
douche.
Other things.
Don't put anything inside, man.
Yes.
Keep it all outside. Everything outdoors. Yeah.
Space for Jesus only. But yeah. That's all I have to say on that, to be perfectly honest.
Do we have time for the Am I the Arthur?
It depends on how spicy is it.
It's not that spicy.
Well, go for it. Go for okay. it.
Okay. Just accepting the cookies.
Come on.
Okay. Am I the arsehole for telling my daughter she cannot introduce her African-American boyfriend to her grandparents? Let me preface this by saying, all capitals, I have absolutely no problem with interracial relationships. Now that the air is clear, let me continue.
Okay.
My daughter Anna has recently started to date an African-American man, Jamal. While I'm not exactly what you consider liberal, he's a nice young man. As long as my daughter is happy, I'm happy. The problem is Anna is rather naive about the community she lives in. While her friends are quite content to see a relationship like hers, more than a few tongues are wagging in the community. I don't know what community this is.
What, Mormon?
And a few people have privately expressed their concern to me. As I said, I have no problem with mixed relationships and I've set them straight, but I'm painfully aware of how these matters are viewed by certain segments of the population. My parents are planning to come and stay with us for a week and Anna expressed a desire to introduce Jamal to them now things are getting serious. I told her in no uncertain terms that this isn't going to happen. I have no problem with Jamal, but they absolutely will. And even when the relationship ends, they won't forget it. They might even go as far as to cut her off entirely. Anna was extremely...
She's already planning the breakup.
Anna was extremely upset by this and implied I was a racist and I'm more concerned with how my parents feel than she does. As I said, I know my parents. They simply aren't okay with mixed relationships. Anna is currently staying with Jamal and doesn't want to speak to me right now. My wife stands by me, given she knows how well my parents... they had a problem with her having a long skirt when they first introduced her. So I don't know what period these guys are in.
With a long skirt?
A short skirt, sorry. But a close friend I confided in told me that I behave like an ass and I need to focus more on my daughter than pleasing my parents. Have I been an ass? I'm interested to know what community they're in where tongues are wagging.
Yeah, like, where like, are you? Like, town, Amish, I don't
the
know.
The town crier.
I think, like...
Anna and Jamal.
Also, how old is Anna? Did
I know,
say?
No.
Because, like...
I reckon she's in the teens.
No, but I... Even with that, how old is she that she wouldn't just know that your grandparents are racist?
Yeah.
Or that you are in, like, a conservative racist community? And then also, where does she find this Jamal? How far away does he live from her? So that,
yeah, there's so many questions.
I'm like, I think that what, and again, that makes Anna sound really young because why would you want to put your boyfriend through what is obviously going to be a fully racist incident?
That's what I was thinking. Like, it's actually doing Jamal a favor.
Yeah.
So is he an ass? I don't know. But he's, I wouldn't want to be put into that situation if I'm meeting some racist grandparents.
I don't think he's an asshole at all. Because it's not
his
being
realistic.
And you're staying at Jamal's house. So also factoring that in, like, how old are you guys? Maybe 16, 17? Anna sounds dumb. So let me put that out there.
But then also, it's like, if it does end up being a really serious relationship and they end up getting married, what's she going to do? Hide Jamal forever and not have a wedding?
Yeah, she can have a wedding. You guys aren't coming. And also, they'll die soon.
That's true. I think,
like, you, like, but then honestly, somebody's like, you will be dead in 10 years.
But then
years.
It's not
like,
fair for shit. Somebody to have to hide their love.
She doesn't have to hide it. Like, if it ends up being so serious that they're going to get married, this is who I'm with. I'm marrying them. Come, don't come. If anything, your two heads not being there is a calm £200 off my bill.
Yeah, and to then be honest,
cut me out. Yeah. Don't give a fuck.
Exactly. If they're going to cut her off over something like this, they're not worth having in the first place.
Honestly, like...
Yeah. Because if she was that close with her grandparents, she probably would also have these views. I'm like... Although, no. that's a stretch because she could still...
Communities change all the time. And
but like...
Like, you don't agree with everything your parents say.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But she can't be that close to her grandparents. Otherwise, she would have just introduced him anyway.
No, but she also can't be that close because she didn't know they're flaming racist. So I'm like, I don't think they're close at all. Or she's dumb.
I feel like there are a lot of...
She sounds a bit stupid.
There are a lot of white people who are like, oh, like the people from Get Out, they're like so on paper, so not racist, so accepting, but they've never actually had any experiences with black people. It's all like hypothetical.
Right,
acceptance. Right. Okay. If it's their daughter dating a black guy, their son dating a black woman, then it's like, oh, now we're involved. And then they're like, we're okay with black people existing near us, but not with us.
They were fine with it anyway. It's the grandparents. Like, you don't live in my house. And they're coming to visit. Because they're in a week, so they're even coming from deep outside. So, like, oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It's the whole thing.
I don't think he's an asshole, because I'm fine with people avoiding
racist situations.
Yeah, you're avoiding drama. Yeah. Like, you're just avoiding drama. Because, like, now your granddad's calling someone a nigger across the dinner table. And they're going to have to sit there like, what? Also, I don't know, like, is this like a violent racism scene?
Yeah.
Is the KKK going to be on your door the next day?
That's the thing, you don't know. I don't like the idea of Anna feeling like she has to hide who she is.
I don't think she is, though. They didn't say don't tell your grandparents that you're with a black person. By all means, she can text them. They just said make sure he's not at the house.
Yeah.
Because, like, who wants that stress?
Yeah, it's true.
If anything, she should actually do that without him.
Yeah.
She should be there and be like, oh, by the by, my partner's black.
But it's also,
he doesn't need to sit there and watch them freak out about
that's
it.
That's true. Yeah.
So, yes, I agree.
It's like
the
same thing when people who have like a black boyfriend or girlfriend don't tell the family that they are black,
and then they're like, oh,
you didn't, like, tell me she was coloured.
You need to do a heads up at least.
Yeah.
So then you
Although,
know.
But then, when would you actually bring that up?
I don't know. Are people bringing their partners home without even showing
a pic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How early are you taking the partner home?
No, but I always find it weird. Like, if somebody, you know, when you're talking to somebody and then they're like, oh yeah, my wife, she's black, by the way. Like, why are you telling me that? Like, for what purpose?
That's so
what
true.
About me is it that you felt the need to also tell me that you have a
unless
black
there's
wife?
Context that they're going to talk about something different, but yeah, that is true.
No, but I do think that, like, well, my mum is with black people,
yeah,
and I'm not there. I wonder, like, does she say I have a black daughter?
No, I think like, about Steph all the time, because,
like,
I'm like, God forbid,
she, like,
God
actually,
forbid you said something, and I'm like, oh well.
No,
knowing from the black experience, because I have somebody black in my house.
Oh, no, honestly, I know for a fact there are relatives who definitely use me as, I know a black person. She said,
oh, really?
This. Oh yeah.
Oh God.
Like, and I hate it.
I know.
I hate the idea of that. But then I'm like, I want my, like, I want people to know that my mum is my mum. So
yeah, I guess.
But it would be weird if she's just like, by the way.
It depends. Yeah, like, black. Randomly bringing it up. I feel like older people do that, though.
But it's like, also when you see when you met somebody for a long time,
yeah,
and then you find out they're like, oh, they have a black wife. Interesting. Like,
but that's,
didn't see that for you.
But that's better. It's
like
a nice surprise.
Yeah.
It's even more of a nice surprise when you're like, why have you've been doing sketchy. Like, I had a boss at one point who was really fucking weird. Mm. And he used to always invite me for dinner. And I was like, this guy is a perv. And he would just, like, say really off comments.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this racially provoked or something?
Yeah.
And then there was a work barbecue. And then he was like, oh, this is my wife. And I was like, oh.
She's black.
Yeah.
See, he was too comfortable in the community.
He was too comfortable, because I was like, maybe if you... So in that instance, I would have maybe... If you'd led with that, because all I saw was a 50-year-old man keeps inviting me to his fucking house.
Right.
And then when they met, he was like, yeah, you guys could be friends.
That's
And he wanted to find friends.
Yeah, that's
why
thing
did
is
you leave with that?
Not being a creep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's weird.
It's weird. But anyway.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, we'll be back
next week
for some episodes.
And then we're taking a break.
Are we?
A little break. We'll discuss.
We'll find out. You'll find out.
You'll find out. We'll find out.
But yeah, have a nice weekend. Bank holiday weekend.
Enjoy the bank holiday weekend.
It should be sunny.
Finally warm.
It's finally warm. That storm yesterday was fucking crazy.
There was a storm yesterday.
Oh my God, it was like Hanifa. I thought the world was ending.
Sorry, what? Yesterday?
So about 3 a.m.
Oh, I was
asleep. As in, like, I have never been... in a storm like that in London. As in around 3 a.m. And I thought it was like torrential rain, like as in the heavens had opened.
I'm sad I missed that.
Lightning back to back. 30 strikes. 3-0 I was counting. So by the time I woke up, it could have been more. But as in, like, you know when your whole room is like, psh, that's what woke me up. What? Whole room was like, psh, and it was like.
Psh. I don't think that hit me.
30 strikes, I heard.
It doesn't even look like it rained last night.
I know, it really dried up really quickly.
It's as in, nice
thought,
and warm.
As in, I thought when I was we were going to get up, I thought there was going to be floods.
Yeah, the temperature's really changed.
It was crazy, but maybe because it's a bit
this
warm.
This isn't a why are we ending our podcast
I don't
like
know,
this?
Sorry.
Have a nice week,
goodbye.
Everybody. Bye.